made a commercial.
Yeah, that's.
Where are you? Opening night.
It was conventional wisdom that the reason why Esther is not to be found in the Dead Sea Scrolls is because the name of God is missing from the book. That is not a good enough answer because the name of God is also missing from this book. This book is nicely represented in the Dead Sea Scrolls. However, like Esther, in Chazal literature, in the Mishnayos, in Maseches Yadayim, and in Maseches Ediyot, there is an opinion that Shir HaShirim is not canonical, that it's not part of Tanakh. In Maseches Yadayim and Ediyot, the opinion is posited that Shir HaShirim is not part of Tanakh. Okay, some say it's just a nice story, nice sonnet, and love story between a man and a woman. Until Rabbi Akiva came and said that the rest of Ksuvim is Kodesh, this is Kodesh Kadoshet. It's the holiest of the books of Ksuvim. Right? So what I'd like to do is one of two things. One is the sheets I passed out have to do with Ahava and Yira, love and the fear of God, especially as it appears in the Rambam. And then I have another introduction to hand out to you. And I guess we can start to pass around now also. Your Shir HaShirim packet. I imagine that anyone here sitting in this room can probably come up with a pretty decent English translation of fear and love, right? How we manifest fear and love. It is both a mitzvah separate from all other considerations of how we relate to God, to love God and to fear God. In addition to this, there would be a way in which we do all the other mitzvahs, such as keeping kosher, keeping Shabbos, right? Not wearing shatnez. If someone refrains from wearing shatnez for fear of the punishment for what will happen from God if I do wear it, that is called observing this particular mitzvah out of fear. If someone does the mitzvah without expectation of any reward or in order to avoid any punishment, that person seems to be acting out of love. Would everyone agree with these assessments so far? Okay. Now, in addition to the mitzvahs, observing the mitzvahs out of love or fear, there are two separate mitzvahs, love God and fear God. Okay. Now, we also have a mitzvah to love every person. Okay, it only says to fear your parents. Interestingly enough, it never says to love your parents. To the extent to which parents are also reyachah, right? You have to reyachah kamofa, so parents must be included. But we're told to respect our parents and fear our parents. We're never told to love our parents. That's a separate issue right at this moment. But we want to know, how do we love or fear our parents? The answer is based on certain actions that you do, right? No? To just say I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of loving my neighbor by just staying at home, never having any association with any people, and just saying, I love the human race. I love people. Right? I'm not sure that you fulfill that mitzvah. Right? L'Avdu HaKamocha is fulfilled in terms of what you actually do for those people when they are in need or deserving some kind of good judgment from you. Okay, so let's take a look at a dilemma that we will encounter when reading the Rambam. I'll put it all on the table for you right now, because source number one on the first page, right, and source number five on the last page, where I go back to one.
You want to call those handouts?
Oh, this, yes. We're not doing the page that says Akdamos. We're doing the page that says Rambam Ahavas, the Yiras Hashem. The Rambam really contradicts himself between, actually, on the last page here, it says love and fear of Hashem. Source 3 and 5 are the two contradictory sources, one after the other. See it? 3 and 5. Basically, here is the contradiction. The Rambam, in source number 3, says that the Yiras Hashem, the fear of God, is an intellectual endeavor. That we acquire fear of God through the intellect. And he tells you through what intellect? Through an appreciation of the sciences, an appreciation of the way the universe runs, right? So, this is on the third page, Dora. So you're looking at the first page, the third page there. So, when you look at source number 3, the Rambam says, B'sha'a she'it bonein ha'adam, halacha beis. Okay? You come to a love and a fear of God, b'sha'a she'it bonein ha'adam b'ma'asav. I don't have to go any further. Yit bonein, bina. It's an intellectual endeavor. However, so I just want some of the members of this shir to read this entire halacha. You have to remember it was said about 800 years ago. The Rambam writes, look at source number 5 in Hilchos Teshuva. Al yomar adam hareini osem mitzvas ha-torah va-osek b'chochmasa kidei she'akabel kol ha-brachos ha-ksubos ba o kidei she'ezkel l'chayel ha-maba. Do not say that I'm going to follow this Torah and I'll follow its wisdom so that I can receive all the blessings that are written in this Torah, or that I should be have a share in the next world. Ve'efrosh min ha'averu she'izira Torah mehen k'dei she'anatzel min ha'klalos ha'ksuvos b'Torah, o k'dei she'lo ha'koreis mechel ha'maba, or that I refrain from the averos so that I should not receive the divine punishments that are written in this book, or that I should not be cut off from the next world. Ein ro'ui la'avodes Hashem al derech hazeh. Sheha'oved al derech hazeh hu oved miyira. Person who serves God this way is serving from yira, and it's not a good thing. Now if you turn up just to source 4 above this, you read a famous, very famous Mishnah. Antignos ish socho kibel mishimon atzadik. Everyone see it? He says, hu oya omer, Al tiyu kavodim ha-misham shnitzarav ha-manas l'kabal pras. Elo heyu kavodim ha-misham shnitzarav shelo ha-manas l'kabal pras. Do not serve God expecting any reward. Serve God like a servant who does not expect any reward. Now, how did we go about explaining this? I'm sorry to take you back and forth like this, but can you go to the very first page now? See where it says in the middle of the page 2a and 2b? Good, that's this Rambam. This Rambam has a parish to the Mishnah, right? Perkei Avos is a Mishnah, right? So the Rambam says in this long passage here that Al tiyu kavodim ha-misham shnitzarav ha-manas l'kabal pras. What is the way we serve God expecting reward? That's serving God out of fear, right? Rather, we should be like a servant who serves God without expecting reward. That's for serving God out of love. And yet, how does the Mishnah end? V'himorah shamayim aleichem. And have the fear of God upon you. You see the contradiction in the Rambam? Have I presented to you so far? At the Rambam, some places says that Yiras Shamayim is Yiras Hashem, is a lowly form of service, the service of amaratzim, right? Service of children, you need to have rewards, right? Rather, we should serve God without expectation of reward, that is the service of love. But how does the Mishnah end? You have the fear of God upon you. So, the Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself. So I want to give you a few terutzim to this. One is that we're talking about two different types of fear. You want to give me a better English word than fear, perhaps?
Awe.
That's it. So Rabbi Yehoshua Heller, a rabbi in London, wrote a commentary to Pirkei Avos that I'm not sure. You can't give a parish to the Rambam that contradicts another statement of the Rambam. Listen to the explanation he gives. He says, and Lubavitcher Rebbe also has such a cheshbon, that there's lower fear and there's higher fear. Lower fear is yiras ha onish, fear of the punishment, right? The upper fear is yiras ha hachet, fear of the sin itself. I'm not interested in what's going to happen. I can't eat the. Put a piece of bacon to my mouth. It's just. It's not, you know, I'd rather eat gravel. I can't, you know, I just can't do it. I'm afraid of it. Not of what was going to happen to me, my soul, but I just, I'm afraid to do it. I can't even fathom doing it. I'll be throwing up forever if I do it. Right? So, that is a very common explanation of the Rambam. The Mishnah says, do not fear God. The lower fear, you should love God. But then there's even a higher madrega than loving God, and that's the fear of the sin itself. Yiras hacheit is higher than ahava. Okay? Good? The problem is, yeah?
Sorry,
this is a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yehoshua Heller. I saw in the parish he has on Pirkei Avos. He lived in England in the middle of the 20th century. And I saw it in the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The last Lubavitcher Rebbe gives such a parish.
Okay, well, what I'm pointing is saying, if the Mishnah contradicts itself, that's the Rambam.
Well, the Mishnah seems to be contradictory. No, the way the Rambam explains the Mishnah is contradictory. Right?
Rabbi Schultz. But wouldn't love be, I understand that. Because wouldn't love be better than fear of the sin?
Why do I love this phone more than a different phone? Well, maybe not apply to me, but let's say I went online and I went to look at the best phones, the best deals. Why did I buy this one more than any other? Why did I buy this car more than any other? I mean, I have never professed love for a car, but I remember there was an ad, I love what you do for me, Toyota. Remember that? Uh-huh. So it's a shame, but I think we run into problems. People here on the West Side, there are singles here on the West Side who are looking for love like a car. Because they're looking to find someone who does it, what you do for me. I love what you do for me. Right? I've had people, you know, I try to introduce to someone who says, well, he just doesn't do it for me. What are you looking for him to do for you? the point is that those might be good reasons to buy a phone or a car, or to go on a vacation to a particular place, because this place does it for me. But true love is that you love something for the inherent goodness of this thing. This thing makes me better. This thing is just a, you know, an object of love that is the thing in and of itself, not for what it elicits, does for me. Anyway, So in that sense, that fear is higher than the love. But if it's a pure love, then the higher, that's a second tier love, which is very difficult for the human being to fathom. That's why God has to remain an idea. If God is the Nile, right, that overflows, then I love this God because of what he does for me. Come on, turn it to blood, and people will probably reject that God. I love the sun, the Ra, because the Ra does good things for us. Right? There's a whole Navi and Tanakh dedicated to this, where God turned into that kind of relationship. It's called Sefer Hosea. God turned into like just another Baal. The pagans used to worship Baal, the cloud Baal, the sun Baal, all different kinds of Baals for what they do for us. Right? So we're trying to learn a book that'll help us really appreciate God for what God is in essence. And it's not easy for the Jew to do this, because the Jew doesn't have a picture on the wall with a beard and long hair, and it doesn't have a sculpture, and doesn't have a, you know, God's an idea for us. Because it's not that I love God for what he does for me. Jesus loves you, so you got to love him back. What? I love God because of that eternal goodness that God represents. And by the way, that therefore that can't be shaken by, let's say, a bad deal that I particularly got. Right? Because it's not God's nature is not totally in the good or bad thing that happens to me. And it's a big picture, a bigger picture than that. Right?
Don't we reaffirm the Shema that what God can do for us?
Those are necessary things, yes.
Also, that's what I thought the Baraka before Shema, that, you know, both in the morning and the evening, was that God loves us first, Ahavas Olam and Ahavah Rabbah. So don't we say that God loves us first and then we...
These are important things to stress, but once the relationship becomes limited to that, that's called Ahava Hatzluya B'davar, Batla HaDavar, Batla HaAhava. The first test that comes across your way, where those things don't happen, then you're out the door, right?
Which makes it easier to love an idea than the thing itself.
Of course.
The thing itself is real and presents challenges. Whereas the idea...
Cannot be shaken?
Well, I mean, it can be shaken, but it's an idea. Like, there is not a reality. I mean, like, it is a reality, but it's...
Okay, what's very interesting is that chapter 2 of Yirmiyahu, which has a lot of parallels to the Inyan of Shir HaShirim, is all about how that prophet complains about the people leaving God for other systems. And one of the psukim in the middle of that chapter is Hahemir Goy Elohim Vehemelo Elohim Vahemir Kvodo Belo Yo'il. Do the nations change their gods like you? You change my kavod all the time. And Abravan, I'll ask the question, what are you talking about? The nations choose to change their gods every Monday and Thursday. What are you talking about? Do the nations change their gods? Yeah, but the difference is that when the nations change their gods, they do so because they realize that the God I've been worshipping until now failed to fulfill those expectations that I had, so I'm just going to go to a different God. The point of Judaism is that even when God fails to fulfill what we have as an expectation, that cannot shake our belief, and that's the way that this book ends, actually.
We believe we have to figure out why.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's what Koheles is about. Right? Koheles is about fear, Shir HaShirim is about love. I want to come down to the difference between the two of them in classical Jewish thought. There are going to be two types of fear and two types of love. I love what you do for me, and I love the inherent nature of what you are. Fear is, I fear the punishment, or I fear the sin. Now, I think that the to solve the Rambam's problems by saying that he only speaks of the higher fear as a fear of sin, it seems to be contradicted by source number 4. The Rambam seems to be saying that to fear God out of fear of punishment is also quite acceptable, you know, understand, all right? I don't mind saying at all that I fully expect that the tefillin I wear, the kashrus I keep, and other heedings I do of God's word serves me. And I get upset if it doesn't. Right? The only difference is, and I'm telling you this is the Rabbeinu Yonah, Shitas HaTosfos. The difference is, and I'll conclude this part of the discussion as follows. It's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, in Pesachim, in Rosh Hashanah, that says, Hanosein Tzedakah, if you give Tzedakah, Almanas, and you make a condition. This person should get better, this girl should say yes when they ask her out, every time you make those conditions, Tzadik Gomor, it's perfect Tzitzkus, there's nothing wrong with that. So Tzitzkus asks, it says, Altu Kabodim Amisham Shnes Aral Almanas the Kabal Pras. Don't serve God out of expectation of reward. That's like the year of Tachtona. So Tosfos gives an answer. It's a question of what happens when the thing is not fulfilled. The person gives a $100 bill and says, God, listen, I've been raising the chutzpah to ask this woman out for such a long time. I'm putting this $100 in the box so that you give her a little push to say yes. And then he gives the $100 in the box and she says no. So what's he supposed to do? What's he supposed to not do? Take the $100 back. We had a deal, God.
Give another 100.
Okay. So the double or nothing, God.
Try another one.
So So that's the deal. There's nothing wrong, the Rambam says, with having an expectation for the rewards and the punishments, and the expectation of the rewards and expectation of avoiding the punishments that the Torah itself mentions. If it was such a bad thing and such a negative way of service, why would the Torah mention it? So I hope that I've placed before you some of the different positions on this. I would like you, if you have a chance, to please, especially on the second page, read that there's some English there in the Mor Nebuchim. Okay.
I got a clarification. When you said that the person would eat the pig because of fear of the sin, now it wasn't. There's two possibilities. One is the sin, even though he doesn't care about the reward or the punishment, but he won't do it because it's a sin, or just because I have no taiva for it, which is where we're not supposed to.
Right, but you're
saying it's a sin. I don't care that I'll be punished or not, but just because God said it's a sin, that's why I won't have it. Or it's
I'm repulsed that God's repulsed because God said it's not.
Okay, he's repulsed only because God's.
Now listen, there are some of Averos that there are many good Jews, maybe around this table or others. There's some of areas that are repulsive to us. Put a piece of lobster here. It might be a Balchuva among us who would say, I remember how it tasted, and it tasted quite good, and I'd love to have some again. But it's forbidden. There are some lucky mitzvahs, and there are some unlucky mitzvahs. Kosher seems to be lucky with the, you know, sort of the yeshiva graduate crowd. We try to keep kosher. None of us are eating a lobster, I imagine. But there's some other averos that are equally in the same level. Is someone repulsed by you know, there's some averos that we like doing. You know what I mean? Okay, I wasn't thinking of that at this moment, but Alice is a tzaddik. Tzaddik sheba tzaddikim. Could you imagine if yeshiva shalait, if a yeshiva bacher was as repulsed by speaking Lashon Hara, cheating on taxes, as he is by eating lobster? Isn't that a wonderful thing? You should just to hear the Lashon Hara and be so repulsed. Like, I mean, if I had, I just remember I was a kid at the time, maybe 7 or 8 years old. I still have the memory in my mind. And the house was on the table. I had just had a frankfurter about an hour before, and there was a glass on the table, and I had a glass of water on the table, but I picked up the wrong glass, and there was milk in the glass, and all the milk was a tiny little speck, and I did a little bit in my mouth, and I remember the taste of the milk while I still had frankfurter taste in my mouth. That wasn't 5 or 6 years before bar mitzvah, and I just remember the repulsive feeling that I have. And if I was Dutch, I could have milk like that all the time. 1 hour afterwards. But I just remember the repulsive feeling and just an utter revulsion. That is what we hope to inculcate in you know, we get used to keeping mitzvahs, but in all areas of Torah. Now again, like I say, there are some averos that people like doing. They feel guilty about it afterwards, but they, you know, they like doing it. So anyway, this is fine. What that's coming from. Now, just one last thing is actually source number six. Source number six, where it says, "Ayelat ahavim v'yalat chayin tadeha yiravucha b'chol eis be'ahavasot hishket tamid." This pasuk is as close as you can get in the Bible to a Shir HaShirim kind of pasuk. I'm just going to limit myself to the last three words. The question is, what is tishge tamid? What is tishge?
That's a
shkiyot. Shkiyot, right? You ever see, like, when someone makes a lot of mistakes, and you ever someone says, oh, you must be in love. Ever hear that saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember Moshe we put on the play in 8th grade, and there was a line like that in the play? I don't know if you remember.
Uh-huh.
You can't take it with you by Morris Hart and George S. Kaufman. Well, it was a girl on the plane named Alice who was in love, and she was like, you know, messing around at the office and making like leaving things around, and she said she's doing it because she's in love. Right? Okay. So is that what this means? You should be so in love with Hashem. Look at source number 7 for a minute. You see Rishalmi? Reish Lakish min hago be'oraisa sagin havenotik leil bar matchuma de shabasa v'hu lo yoda l'kayim mashne mabava satish ketamid. Oh my goodness, this is absolutely crazy. They say one time Rav Soloveitchik drove his car into a tree and he was in the middle of talking Torah with someone and he didn't stop talking Torah. Now, I don't believe that. I must say, I'm here publicly on tape, and I do not believe that story. I can believe that he was so engrossed in Torah at times that you know, but to drive into a tree and not realize it, just continue talking as if nothing happened. I would say that I cannot listen to Torah tapes in the car, because if I start getting engrossed in the Torah tapes, I've got like a missed stop signs and things like that. But it's like worse than talking on a handheld. But what does this Yerushalmi say about Reish Lakish? He loved God so much that he would tend to walk past the tchum on Shabbos while he was talking Torah with someone, not realizing that he walked past the tchum. Notice the Yerushalmi talks about him like being in the clouds, right? But also notice the thing that resulted from being in the clouds was Dafka and Avera.
Maybe
he walked past the tchum. What?
Maybe that's
still a mitzvah. He's learning Torah.
Well, when he realized he walked past the tchum, he just waited there till after Shabbos was over. Right. So, but Lamaisa, what we're getting at here is that the Yerushalmi understands Reish Lakish differently than Rashi does. I'm sorry. Yerushalmi explains the pasuk to explain what Reish Lakish was doing, because it cites our pasuk here for Avasot Tishke Tamid. Rashi explains the word Tishke. I'll take it in a moment. Rashi explains Tishke is based on the Arabic. Rashi a few times quotes Arabic, and this is one of them.
Is it really?
Lashon Aravi. Well, Tishke in Hebrew means love God so much that you become a sugar. Love. You become like so it's Mishigas. Okay, Duldik.
That means iron though,
doesn't it? Right?
You
can
sugar that means an iron.
Yeah, but the Shin Gimel is the same thing. The horror. Tishke is Shogag. It means you make mistakes. You're not in your own mind. You're Nishmit Alaman. I just like saying that phrase. Alright, so Rashi says, he quotes the Arabic, that Tishke means ta'asok. Ta'asok, like la'asok in the Torah. To be involved with God's ways all the time. To always think, what does God expect of me in this thing? Until it becomes second nature. You don't have to say it outright. You just have to say this will become second nature. Okay, Johnny, any questions?
But I thought we do the mitzvah in order to know God, as it were, and therefore by performing the mitzvah, we understand. I'm not sure. In other words, there seem to be a lot of philosophies, both from Chabad.
Certainly,
and the same. Seem to be intersecting and sort of giving us different.
You started to read this source?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what he says.
Oh.
Number 3 on the front page, which I wasn't intending to do, but if you have a chance, on the front, on the top page, number 3. The Sefer HaChinuch.
I don't understand that one. But there seems to be a lot of contradictory. In other words, they're saying in the Shalmi that Reish Lakish was doing something wrong.
I didn't say contradiction. I said two different opinions. Rashi does not explain it this way. Okay, but by quoting this pasuk to explain how Reish Lakish could be talking Torah on Shabbos and walk outside the tchum and use this pasuk to explain it, yeah.
Well, we've seen also where people worship the mitzvah, as it were, and they forget the mitzvah.
You're saying something very meaningful. I'll conclude the discussion with as follows. Rav Chaim Oizer was the one who coined this term. It's hard to say. You're going to write it down and you're going to look at these notes many years later, but he said, do not make Avodah Zarah out of the Halacha. Do not turn the Halacha into Avodah Zarah. What does that mean? Do not make the Halacha to be an idolatrous practice. What he meant was, the deity is God. The purpose of the mitzvahs, the purpose of the Torah is to get us close to God. I must tell you, one of the two most beautiful psukim I love in the Tanakh is in Tehillim Perakuf Yutes, and the second of the two psukim say, this is why I love the Torah. And the pasuk before says the following, Ace la'asos la'shem heferu Torah secha. Listen, it's an amazing pasuk. Ace la'asos la'shem heferu Torah secha. If it's a time to do something for God, I push away the Torah. I'm not going to follow the Torah. Torah says keep Shabbos. It's an Ace la'asos la'shem right now. This person is going to be injured or something, come to some harm. I'm heferu Torah secha. I'm not keeping Shabbos now.
Right?
Hey, feiru means lahafer, means lahafer brisi, means, you know, to abrogate the Torah. You know, that's pashup shot. So then he writes the next pasuk. That's why I love the Torah, because we don't have a categorical imperative. The deity is God. Don't, if you turn the mitzvahs into an avodah zarah, then you're going to say for every small little mitzvah, oh, you're right, yabor, you know, become so rigid that you're ruining lives over. Strict interpretation of a mitzvah or something. Right? Okay. Okay, let's do a little share now, Hebron. Let me do a few psukim.
Rabbi,
I'm sorry.
Is it done for the mitzvah or the halakha?
Same thing. But in other words, we do not bow down to the Torah. Right?
Now,
Yes. The art scrolls Tanakh, even those big green and white Tanakh, they have not the literal translations?
They have little translations in the footnotes.
Wow. Okay, let me explain what Stanley's saying. This book, you see, has some, let's put it, some embarrassing. Well, I wasn't even willing to read you this pasuk in Mishlei. Did you read it? What am I going to do when I get to these pasukim in Shir HaShirim? Okay. Now you want to go back to read pasuk Yutes? I guess I'll have to deal with it when I get there, but I'm not ready quite yet. But there are a few times in Shir HaShirim where the man in question is the story of a love story between a man and a woman, and they really spend much of their time bragging to others of how much they are in love. Right? Why can't they brag to each other?
He doesn't call
her back. He doesn't call her back. Because there's a very sad aspect to this book. These two lovers never meet. At least not in this book. The meeting of the two would be the consummation of their love would be like the messianic arrival, the redemption of the people in question. As it is, we're still not redeemed. So they don't get together in this book. Every time one of them wants it, the other doesn't. Isn't that the way it always is, huh?
Not always.
Not always. And isn't it beautiful when it's not like that? When it's reciprocal, right? I'll make sure Paul knows that you said that immediately.
Required.
Yes.
Versus unrequited.
Unrequited. Yeah.
That's
all right. So
somebody. It should be somebody. Your wife. She's the best.
Okay. The book is about how much these two love each other, and at times in the book there's a sort of, you know, the remember when you were in yeshiva, this is like what you like to read under the you had your Torah, full Tanakh, you had it in English, until you get the art scrolls version, and they don't translate it. So when he gets up to the part of describing her body up and down, mamish, leaving hardly anything out, and the art scrolls doesn't translate. They give the figurative interpretation.
You have to go to JTS.
Right? You know, the two... That's the real thing. Okay, to get the Koran. The two cherubs are like beloved, you know, whatever you want to say. So, So that's the question. Should we avoid the art scrolls for the rest of this time? Or to their credit, they do have the translation at the bottom.
You have to go, so it breaks,
you have to, go to the small little print at the bottom there. So what is it? So this is why I gave you these introductions here. Let's take a look let's take a look at the introduction of Rashi.
Which is
it says Achat Tiber Elokim Shtayim Zushamati. See how it come up? Okay. Achat Tiber Elokim Shtayim Zushamati. Those are Rashi's words. Dora, this is it. Dora? Oh, that's the other page. No, the other page. That, yeah. The word hakdamot should be at the top of the page, everybody. See it? Left side. Achat diber Elokim shtayim zu shamati. This is also a pasuk in Tehillim Chevra. It says in Tehillim Perek Tamach Beis, God says one thing and I hear two things. This animates Rashi's perush to the Torah. This is why Rashi gives often a pshat as well as a drash. Because the pasuk seems to be telling me two different things. Right?
You know, they talk about examples like
Shamar V'Zachor
and
that's slightly different. I think the best way to explain what this pasuk means according to Rashi is to use humor or advertisements. A man walked into a bar and said, "Ouch!" You see what Achat Diber, I said one word, I said the word bar, but it means two different things. A lot of jokes start off with someone going into a bar, but this time the bar is actually something like a metal bar that he walked into and hurt himself. The word into also probably needs to be interpreted two different ways. Into a bar is the actual, goes into the bar. Here you just walked into the bar. Two different words. You walked in to the bar. And advertisements tend to be understood this way also, right? This vodka will leave you breathless. What do you think that means? Dead?
Wanting more.
You have too much, yes.
Probably, what do you think it means? Well, look in the dictionary and see what the word breathless means, right? So this, by the way, this is a very important concept I'm about to tell you. That what you're going to find is your main word of what this means is in what you find the word in Rashi's parish, mashma'ut. You familiar with that word? You probably all know what pshat is. You probably all know what drash is. What does Rashi mean when he says mashma'uto? Pshuto ke mashma'uto. Pshuto ke mashma'o. Everyone says context. It means what it sounds like, literally. The dictionary meaning of the word. What is the dictionary meaning of the word breathless? Could be few. Good. That's the usual. Many languages have that. Achati berlokim shtayim zu shamati. Especially when you have idioms also. So God says one thing. So I use again advertisement because breathless probably in the pshat of this ad means what?
Carried away.
Carried away, yeah. Excited. I can't catch my breath. This vodka is so good, right? Would you agree that that's probably what the word breathless means in the context?
Yes.
Right? But you know that there's a deeper meaning to this? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember reading once that vodka is different than scotch or other drinks, is that it's not detectable on your breath as much as other drinks. Mm-hmm. So the better the vodka, the more it's not on your breath. Your wife doesn't know you've been drinking, whatever. Mm-hmm. So this vodka will leave you breathless. You see a deeper meaning now? Mm-hmm. So that's like a drash, you see it? It's a drash means the drish of a chakira, the drash of a chakarta hitev. The choker, you go deep into the meaning to get a different meaning. What does pshat mean? What does the word pshat mean in Hebrew? Lahavshit.
Skin,
good. Lahavshit means the skin and animal. Okay, the covering.
Simplify.
Because the skin is a simple cover. It's an outer layer. It's a simple, you don't have to delve, you don't have to dig choker and drish of hakira to get to a meaning. It's a simple skin layer meaning. You don't have to go looking into deeper meanings and deeper understandings. Right? Remember the woman who used to drive a Honda and she said, that you used to meet guys because a car would get stuck on the highway, but and then they'd help her out, and then she'd give her number. But now that she's driving a Honda, 87,000 miles without a hitch. So the this police officer is driving along the highway, and he's going 60 miles an hour, and he sees there's a woman doing 60 miles an hour in the lane right opposite him, knitting. She's knitting while she's driving. So he gets on his bull and he says, "Pull over!" And she holds up her knitting and goes, "No, it sucks!" So pull over, if you look up in the dictionary, it can mean two words, meaning get off on the side of the road because I want to check your license. Or it can mean something that you knit, preferably not while you're driving on the highway. So the question is, why does Rashi introduce this commentary to Shir HaShirim, citing this pasuk? But it should be obvious for anyone who read art scrolls, is that Shir HaShirim has to have two meanings. It's a love story about a man and a woman, and there's a love story about God and his people. Now, here is what art scrolls is missing. What Rashi is about to tell us, and it would appear that Rashi would not be happy with what art scrolls does, although it's in all truth, it could be that Rashi would like what art scrolls does, because at least art scrolls gives you the perush, the translation at the bottom of the page, right? You have to squeeze for it, if there's, you know, squint for it, but still it's there. What Rashi wants to tell us, it appears by quoting this line, and we'll see it in a minute, is that to reach your Hashirim without the Mashma'ut will make you lose out in understanding the ultimate meaning of the book, which is the Drash, which is that the man and the woman is not Pshat, just the man and the woman. It wouldn't be in the Bible for that, but that it's God and his people. But you will not appreciate the love of God for his people unless you read it as a mashma'ut, the real meaning of the words. Yes.
Once I read a book from Bar Ilan that said there's even a third level there, the animals and the plants that are being compared to the man or the woman, and I put a lot of photographs and things like that of the actual plants and animals.
Well, there's something called Perek Shira. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Some people say every day. So, all right, you know, I appreciate that there are deeper meanings and that there's sort of a environmentalist approach to it. It's, appreciating God's love of man and also of everything else that's in the world. But I don't think you need Shir HaShirim for that. You have mitzvahs in the Torah that say, you know, guard the world and don't be baltashchis, things like that. Eat your peas. Okay, Mikra Echad Yotzei L'Kama Ta'amim. One text can go out to mean many things. Sof davar, and when all is said and done, ein lecha mikra yotzei midei pshuto umashma. The original version of Rashi says mashma. Oh, now you see why Rashi, who usually writes ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto, in his commentary, writes here in Shir HaShirim, writes at the end of line 2, ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto umashma, meaning that it's important to appreciate the mashma'ut of the words of this book. Ba'af al-pi she'dibru ha-navi'im divrei'em b'dugma, tzorach li'yashev ha-dugma al-ofaneha v'al-sidra. Even though the prophets spoke their words in parables, and this story is a parable, we still have to explain the parable according to the ofaneha v'al-sidra. Those are terminologies Rashi uses in his Perush HaTorah quite often. Allow me to explain the following. When the teeth of the woman is described in this book, it's described as straight without missing anything. What did we describe? I think Arthur told us last week, remember the end of Koheles? We went on and on and on about the grinders, taking good care of your teeth in your old age. Remember he said that most deaths, even 100 years ago, were because of tooth decay. It led to other infections, right? So, you know, you could be, decent looking, but, you know, you have three teeth left. What good is that? But that's what the average person has. Because he's telling you to, of all the things he's warning you about taking care of in your youth, so that when you get older, things are, I welcome you to take care of those grinders. So the tochanos. So here, in Shir HaShirim, he is glorifying in how straight her teeth is, which seems to be an unusual thing, right? Okay, but she's got straight teeth. Now, in the drash, the teeth are not real teeth because the woman is not a real woman. The woman is Israel. So what are the teeth of Israel? The teeth can be there are a lot of different things, but that are grown from within. They grow the things that are ingrained in you, things that become part of you. Your looks are not part of your teeth, because looks can change in a minute. Your midos, the thing that makes you a tzaddik or a navi or any other thing that makes you your inherent thing that's good, is what the teeth represent in the Medrash. Now, correct. Now, if what teeth represents is something that grows from within, right? And we didn't care about ofaneha v'al sidra, we didn't care about the mashma'ut. So, for all that, you know, imagine that Shlomo could have said, your teeth are green. And what's the parable? Well, grass is green, and grass also grows from within. Right? Or your teeth look like grass. Or, find something else that's poetic, that grows from within, I don't know. But the point is that it's obvious to any reader. Rashi is warning us how not to read Shir HaShirim, which is exclusively with the drash. Because if you exclusively read it with the drash, you will lose something out of the mashma'ut. Where Rashi is really trying to tell you deep down, that what you're losing out in a human relationship, you will be losing out in the relationship with God. God gives us human relationships. And there's a line like this, I said, I'll show this as Pesach Shabbos. God gives us the human relationships to recognize how to relate to Him. Okay. So, Shir HaShirim, if you just read it with the drash, then you will be losing out on that score. Okay. So he says, Kimosha Mikra Ostudrim, Zeachazet. There's a storyline here. For Isi Lesaper Lesefer Hazet, Kama Midrashe Gadal Yesh Sodrim, Kola Sefer Hazet Bemedrash Echad. And there is a derech to read Shir HaShirim that it's all about one basic underlying theme. And what is that? That the man in question is God, the woman in question is Israel, and their love for each other is being professed, but sorrowly, not in a way that comes to consummation, but also that there is a historical timeline from the redemption from Egypt all the way up to the Yemos HaMashiach. And that's what Rashi does with this book. Before we go any further, just let's read a few psukim, please. Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo. I'm just going to read a few. Yishokeni minishikos pihu ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Go, we're reading inside. See here, I mean, what is this? This is, also I suppose. Communicate your innermost wisdom to me again in loving closeness, for your friendship is dearer than all earthly delights. Yeah. Here it doesn't even give you the English.
Only in the Tanakh and in their full commentary and share simply.
Wow.
This one does, the
Santino. Oh, Santino certainly does. Okay. So, Shokei Mishkosu means you kiss me with the kisses of your lips because your love is better than wine. Okay? So, this is what the book is about. I mean, this is the whole book is going to read like this. All right? So let's just continue. L'reach shmanecha tovim shemen turak shmecha al kein alamos ahivucha. You write the business right away. Goes your perfume, your cologne, whatever, your shemen, your ointments, they smell beautiful. Your name also has a great reputation. And you see the fragrance, like something that wafts through the air, like a reputation also is out there. Alkein alamos ahivucha. Therefore, all the young maidens love you. You have a great name out there. Moshcheni acharecha narutza. Heviani amelech chadarav, nagile v'nismach abach. Nazkira dodecha miyayin meishrim ahivucha. Basically, what Pasukdal is saying is that the king draws me to his innermost chambers, and where he will profess his love for him, for me. Okay, now, according to Chazal, according to Rashi, these first three psukim refer to our very early history, where God professed love to a people by choosing three forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to start a great nation. But alas, there was some terrible, before they became a nation, there was some terrible exile first, right? To a place called Egypt, where we had to work in the hot sun. And look what happened to us in that hot sun. Take a look at Pasuk Hey. Shchora ani v'nova b'nos Yerushalayim. I have been made blackened by the sun, but I still remain beautiful. Ki ohle kedar ki rio shlomo. I became like the tents of Kedar, Arabian tents. Like the curtains of Shlomo. Al tiruni shani shcharchores. Shish zofasni shamesh. Don't look at me that I've been so blackened by the sun, that the sun has so darkened me. B'nei imini charubi, the sons of my mother, Noach's wife, is the mother of this nation too. The sons of my mother, look how they abused me. Samuni no teroes hakrimen kamishu mi lonatarti. She made me tend to the vineyards of another land, and my own vineyard, Israel, I have not been able to tend to. All these scores and scores of years, 210 years, I've been out of Israel. And I have not been able to pursue the goodness of that same land. Hagiduli sha'ava nafshi echa tire echa tarbitz vasarayim. Shalomei yekot yo'al adriya chavirecha. How can I get the word across that I am longing to be returned back to that early love? Im lo te'ilach hayafa banoshim, te'ilach b'ikvei atzon u'riyas gidiyosayach ha'mishkanos ha'ro'im. So, if you don't know, you beautiful woman, how you can do this, go out to the tzon, to the sheep, and go out and this is a sign of a shepherd who would save us from this plight. He's saying how now this is God praising the people, that they are like these fine animals girt with gems and beautiful stones. Ad she'amelech b'misibo nirdino san recho, sror hamor dodili bein shaddai yolin. She now professes her love for him, of how close they will ultimately be. Notice none of this is actually happening. This is the two of them dreaming of this. Eshkol hakofer dodili b'kamei en gedi, hinach yafa v'yasi, hinach yafa inayach yolin. They're going back and forth. Now it's very quick. Usually later in the book it's going to be her for a whole parak and him for a whole parak. Here it's back and forth. He's praising him, expectation of what it's going to be like when they're united, and he speaks of her. Every other pasuk is back and forth. Now he speaks of her. He speaks of her eyes. And she speaks of him. She speaks of their marital bed. She speaks of their intimate time that she expects to have with him. And all of this can clearly be understood on two levels, right? But a man and a woman with great expectation, maybe a week before their marriage, right? or of a God and his people who's waiting to be reunited after all these, waiting all this time after choosing your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So this is what Rashi means when he says, Yesh, he kama mitrusha agadah yesh sodrim kol sefer hazeh b'midrusha chod. V'yesh mefuzarim b'kama mitrusha agadah mikraos levadam ve'inam mitzah shvim alashon ha-mikra v'seder mikraos. Then there are some of midrashim that just take midrashim out of context in Shir HaShirim, and he says, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Rashi says, my parish is going to be consistent, that it moves in the direction of what I just did in chapter 1. Right? V'amarti b'libi l'tfos mashma'uta mikra li'yashev bi'urim al sidram v'midrashot mirabotenu ekva'im b'medrash v'medrash ish ish b'makomo. And I say in my heart that I am going to try to work with the meaning of the words and work with the medrashim of the rabbis to put each medrash in its place to explain each thing as it appears. Okay, so I think this is the place to stop. Okay. All right? And you'll see that where Rashi, I mean, it's a really good place to stop because he really tells you his derech, starting with Omer Ani. Shera'ah Shlomo. Okay. And we still have to do the Mezra's introduction.